My name is Lonnie. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm a sugar addict. I'm a 100-pounder. And thank you so much, Rich, for inviting me. And it is really my pleasure to be here with you this evening. I'm not even sure where to go. I've been abstaining for a long, long time, 39 years, actually, a little more than that when I really stop and think about it. And you can't put all of that into like 20 minutes. You just can't get it all. And so when I asked Rich earlier, what is the topic? And he said the name, I think the name of this meeting is a miracles meeting. And I went, oh, that kind of works right good into what is happening in my day. So I'm going to give you a little bit of what it was like, what happened, and then what it's like now. Because I think what it's like now is usually way more important than what it was like. Number one, I ate. I don't need to really go into a whole long discussion about it because everybody who is here knows how to eat. But I ate, and I had darn good reasons for it. I think I was probably born a compulsive overeater. My mother, if I can believe her, because there's no record of that, says I was 12 pounds, 8 ounces at birth. That's about the size of a 3-month-old baby, and I always like to say they knew I was coming. They could have bought me a tricycle, saved me a piece of cake, and everything would have been just fine. Childhood wise was grim in so very many ways. And I'm not, that's not why I'm a compulsive overeater. I am a compulsive overeater. I don't blame anybody for my problems, but there were things that took place that today my parents would be in jail. But that contributed, they contributed, but it's not the why. Also, let me say, I never worry about the why. I really never got into the why. I didn't care about the why. This is what I cared about. It was January, actually it was December of 1985, the holiday season, and I did what I'd always done. We decorated, I cooked up a storm, we ate, we celebrated, I did all the movies, I had three daughters, husband, home, I had all the trappings that would make me appear to look like, gee, I'm living the good American life. And except I was 340 pounds. And I wasn't exactly sure how I got there. And I really didn't even know how I looked, except it wasn't good. I was in Westwood and I was coming back from a movie because I'm a movie file, and I was parked in the federal building and I had to pass an office building that was kind of like mirrored reflective glass, and I actually saw myself from head to foot and I didn't recognize myself. Oh my ever loving, how did that happen? Now I knew that I had to do something, and but I would do anything except I didn't want to give up the food. So I what is it? I like to say I'm a special high intensity thinker. Special high intensity thinker. The acronym is SHIT. And so I go to that miracle spot in my brain, and I want, and can you just don't take anything away from me? And can I lose 37 pounds by Tuesday? I'll be a happy girl if we could make that happen. And that's not going to happen. But anyway, it's December of 1985, and I'm in difficulty because all the things that I'd always done weren't working. Yet, if you had watched me, you would have never known that. But this is what I knew. I was so afraid, so fear-driven, and the fear wasn't for me. The fear was that I was going to have a heart attack at my size, and somebody was going to gain authority over my children. And that was the motivator to bring me to Overeaters Anonymous in January of 1986. And a friend, a binge buddy of mine, said, oh, in January, everybody starts everything, right? This is the national go on a diet, gym membership, and all of that stuff. And I'm in difficulty. I'm in difficulty in my work. I don't understand that because I've always been an excellent employee, and d nothing was working. Everything I touched was just going wrong, and I didn't understand it. And I said to her, okay, I'll go to this meeting. I knew where it was. Okay, I'll go. And so here it is, January of 1986, and I load up on my on some chicken delicious in Westchester so that I could go to the meeting, and my clothes, I'm reeking of it. And I go to the meeting. I'm the largest person in the room. There's about 10 people in the room. And I got to tell you the truth. It's a true story. I didn't want to be there. But I told my friend I would go. I bought the book. And the book, I still have it today, was the AA's 12 and 12, because that's what we studied Remember, I said it's 1986. We did not have our own books in those days like we have today. And I met nice people and I learned one thing at the meeting. And the one thing that I walked away with was, I'm a compulsive overeater. And how do I know that? Because all of you guys said you were, they gave your name and you were a compulsive overeater. And my brain went, oh my God, there is a reason. Oh, there's a name for it. Yes, I am that. Still don't, I'm not giving anything up. Don't. And the truth was, I did not plan to return to you, because even though, okay, I go home with the book, I'm going to read the book for the plot. Somewhere in there is going to tell me how I can lose 150 pounds. I'm all good. Everything will work out just fine. So I take the book home and I pretty much did exactly what I said, except I couldn't find the secret that told me how I was supposed to lose the 150 pounds and not come back. And the following Tuesday, it was a Tuesday night, my friend called me and said, are you coming to the meeting tonight? Now, also in my nature at that time, I was a liar, a cheat, a sneak, and a thief, especially about food, not about everything in my life, but especially about food. And I am searching, I was a good liar, and I'm searching my brain for everything I can come up with. And I couldn't come up with anything. And I very reluctantly said, yes, I'll come back. But at least this time, I know who you are. I know what you look like. I know what we're going to do. So I have the book. I got a pad of paper, got an ink pen. I show up. I'm going to do what I always do, which is, show up, pay attention, take notes, go home. But inside, everything I had inside said, I'm not coming back. I'm not coming back. Every corpuscle, every hair on my head said, I'm not coming back. And when I left the meeting that night, somebody who was just drop dead gorgeous, she was the secretary, and she stopped me at the door. I was the last one exiting the room to go to the parking lot. She stopped me at the door and she said, Lonnie, I just wanted to tell you, whatever it is that you're eating, don't worry about it. Don't worry about what you're eating. Come back to the meeting next week. If she had actually slapped me with a wet sock, she couldn't have done any more to catch my attention. And I mumbled something. And I sat in my car and I thought, she's so gorgeous. How could she even say that to me? Remember, I'm 340 pounds. I'm wearing men's size shoes. I make my clothes. All of my blouses and dresses were muumuus, done in different fabrics. And I'm like, how could she say that to me? I'm not coming back. And I can't tell you what happened between that Tuesday and the following Tuesday. But the following Tuesday, I came back. And it was years later I was able to understand. I was really at a crossroads. I knew that I couldn't do the dietary things that some people who just maybe wanted to shed a few pounds for the new year could do. I knew I couldn't do any of that. I'm not a successful dieter. And it was either going to go one way or go the other way. And whatever it was, I went back to that meeting, fully intending to never be back there again, and I've never left. And I came to understand that not only she became my first sponsor and later my very dearest friend in life, she passed away in 2017. I miss her daily. She saved my life. She saved my life because the path that I was on that I could not control. I ate like a low bottom drunk. I was 5 foot 6 in those. I think I'm 5'4" right now, and I hate that part. But I was 5 foot 6 at that time, and I'm 340 pounds, and I can't stop, and I'm not having a good time, but I can't stop. And everything about me was I need to escape. I need to hide in a movie theater, eat my way through, cry for the story on the screen. Go home, pretend like I haven't done any of it. Cook meals, take care of make sure everybody's got every. I'm running stuff and I'm not running stuff. I'm terrified. I'm gonna have a heart attack. I'm gonna die, and somebody's gonna gain control of my children because my husband would have abdicated the throne. So I came back to that meeting. I didn't understand anything about this, but when I came back, I'm going to say there was a shift in my attitude. I still had that book. I still had my pad of paper and my pen, and I found myself doing crap I never wanted to do. My sponsor today, there's action. Okay, today I do action. Today I give service. I didn't want to give service. I want to sit in the back of the room and be entertained because, you guys spoke and you told stories, and I actually heard my story. Well, it was about a couple of weeks later, and she says to me, she stops me at the door and she says, there are other OA meetings. And I'm like, seriously? Yes, there are other meetings, and you're telling me this because there's a 100-pounder meeting, and why don't we have dinner and I'll come with you? I learned her strategy. This means I will follow you and make sure you get there. And I thought, I don't want to, okay. And so I went. And it was there that that meeting on Thursday night is still my home meeting. It became my home meeting in February of 1986, and it's my home meeting today, 39 years later. And I'm looking at those people and I'm horrified at everything I'm looking at. I'm horrified. And I go sit out in the parking lot and I think to myself, why am I horrified? They're loud and rowdy and raucous, and they're just like me. And that became almost every OA meeting I've been to, and I've been to hundreds, maybe more. I look at people, I look at you guys, and I think, we are very different. If it were not for this recovery program, we would pass each other in the street and not see each other at all, probably. And you know what? Those people at that meeting were just like me. And I married over Eaters Anonymous. I'd been dating before, but I actually married over Eaters Anonymous and I followed direction. Please understand what I'm going to tell you. I am not your shining example. I'm your cautionary tale. Okay. Today when I came to OA, I was 43 years old. Today I'm 82 years old. And yeah, I am 82 years old. People go, no way. Yeah, way. Okay. And so, but I'm 82 years old. And as I said to my doctor, if you look at my food my sponsor gets my food every day, I should be tall and thin and have the high pointy breast. And that's not happening. Actually, in the last few years, I've put on a few pounds. No, I've not gained 100 pounds. I'm down probably easily holding off 130 pounds. And the truth is, because there are a couple of things in my food plan that are a little too fattening for my age and my mobility these days, and other things that I really need to, and I have. And I just looked at it and said, yeah, I really like to eat almonds, but I cannot take them by a handful or a measured something. I generally count 12, and that has to be I'm a plant-based person, so I don't eat animal products at all. So I have to balance proteins and some other stuff. That's the food plan. The food, by the way, if we have newcomers here, that'll be the easiest thing. Don't even worry about it. I'll say to you what my first sponsor said to me, just keep coming to the meetings. Work the steps of the program. You find a sponsor, stuff is going to get taken care of. I was blown away when I started to actually read the big book and not try to read for the plot. And I found out there was direction there. And then our own book that we have, the Overeaters Anonymous, 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, is wonderful. And I suggest get them, get a sponsor, read them, do some work. Now, the name of this program is Miracles. I want to talk about a couple of things. When I began that first day of abstinence, it's a well-known story, and I'll share it with you guys. So it's a Friday morning because I don't do anything on a Monday. I don't start a new job on a Monday, nothing on a Monday morning, Friday. Friday's good for me. It's a Thursday night. I've had this powerful, powerful meeting. I cried at that meeting. I go home. The next morning, I wake up and I decide I'm going to try the abstinence thing. Because I was told if I didn't like it, I could take the food back. So I take my happy self to work. I did not stop at the three places I already stopped at to collect. I go straight to work. I'm on a van pool. I go to work, and I'm feeling good. I got probably 3 hours worth of abstinence. So I would have gotten up at 5 in the morning. It's almost 8 o'clock in the morning. I got about 3 good hours, and I'm walking in, and a young woman intercepts me because what she has in this grocery bag are 4 boxes of Girl Scout cookies that I'd already paid for. And I'm looking at her like, you're shitting me, right? Excuse me, I'm sorry, we're being recorded. You're serious? She says, I got to give them to you. I can't take them inside, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so now I've got these cookies. What am I going to do with these things? I've got 3 hours of abstinence, and what do I do with these things? I find some guys I used to hang out with and eat with it in the company. I go to their floor, I give them away. The guy
5 minutes.
says, what's wrong? 5 minutes? Thank
You
you.
found it.
Okay, anyway, I give away the Girl Scout cookies, and I swear, I go to my office, and a guy comes in and says, oh, I'm glad you're here. We got donuts this morning. The donuts, that we had a special meeting this morning, big pile of donuts. I said a bad word. Last time I said this bad word to God, it was February 28th, 1986. And I said, you know, you're effing with me, but I'm gonna go check out the donuts. And I did. Sugar was removed from me that day. I've not had it since. Not like my meals haven't been big. They have. And what happened to me that day was I didn't, you know, my food didn't do this because it was out here. But what happened was I learned how to stop. The meal started and it ended. And I was stopped until the next meal. And I got it and it was a big meal. And then it stopped until the next meal. And the real miracle for me in Overeaters Anonymous was when I finished dinner that night, I didn't obsess all night long and I didn't eat again until breakfast the next morning. Three meals a day, nothing in between. That's what I had. And the meals were big. Today, the meals are not that big, but they were really big at that time. And that's where I was. You begin where you are. I began where I was. In the meantime, I got a sponsor who was telling me writing and reading and inventory had to be done. She set a date and she nagged me constantly. She nagged, nagged, nagged. She nagged me until I got the inventory done on time, her schedule, not my schedule. And you can do service. Coffee person, I don't want to be your coffee person. And I get an elbow in my ribs. I ended up dragging huge boxes of coffee stuff going into the federal building. And back, in other words, I was taught how to serve you. And consequently, other things started to happen. Exercise happened. Meals narrowed in. Meetings had to be attended. Workshops to go to. Fun stuff too. Fun stuff. Dances. All kinds of fun stuff. In other words, there was a big C word, and it's called change. Everything had to change, and it didn't mean that I had to expect you to change. It meant that I had to change. And I didn't recognize it. Other people recognized it. I could see you changing, but I couldn't see me changing. I'm going to fast forward because I'm almost done and I want to finish up on this. Today, I have a very deep belief in a power greater than myself. And I start my day, and I love to share how I start my day. Upon awakening, I start my day. I give thanks upon awakening. I give thanks for three things. One, I accept and receive. Will receive and accept a gift every day. And this is the gift: freedom from the bondage of compulsive overeating, freedom from the bondage of the sugar poison, and freedom from the bondage of bad food behavior. In other words, the dangerous bondage of those three things, I give thanks for it. I've given those. So I don't worry about a whole lot. I already know what the food's going to be. Okay. And then I invite because I like warm welcomes. I was warmly welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, and I like warm welcomes. And so I invite my higher power. I invite. This is all I got, actually. Doesn't matter whatever things I might have, none of that. This is all I am right here. And so I invite to guide and direct because I am here to do my higher power's will, God's will, not my will. I know how to do my will, I can make a mess. But I'm here to, how can I serve? So I ask for guidance and direction on my thoughts and words, my actions and reactions, my prayer and meditation, service and exercise, and my food, quality, quantity, and honesty. Can I be honest about it? Can I just tell the exact truth about it? And after that, I attempt to go about my day. There's other things. There's meditation. There's readings that happen, and all the other things that, you know, we all do these things in our own way. But that is what sets the tone for me on a daily basis, saves my bacon, lets me know instantly if I'm stepped on somebody's toes and I need to make amends. And, you know, I had a long conversation with my sponsor yesterday, which was just really glorious, and just kind of keeps me going on an even keel rather than me running around trying to figure out how much can I get, how much can I eat, does anybody know about it, can I do it in secret, all of the things that brought me to you. This is, it's like I said, it's hard to try and put the experiences of 39 years and the learning of 39 years into a short period of time. So I think that might be almost time for me. Where's my timer?
Yep, that's time.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see you. Thank you, Don. Okay. So with that, I'm going to say thank you so much for letting me come and share with you. I'm now going to spend time and listen to you guys, and I'll hang around afterwards, Rich. If anybody has a question or something that they would like to ask, something I didn't cover, I'm yours until we're done. Thank you.